Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
There we go. I forgot the microphones. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, April 7th, and we're forgetful this morning, but we'll try to be a little more helpful
because
of
the buttons.
Plunge into the Wednesday. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I was like, wait, what did I forget?
Not you. I'm just talking in general.
I was like, what did I forget?
Forgetful. Well, I don't know why, but a lot of things on my mind lately and stuff. But I made an appointment for the vaccine.
When?
For this weekend.
Wonderful.
But I'm very apprehensive about it, to be honest with you.
Sure.
You know? I'm like saying, once I put that in, it's irreversible, you know?
Yeah, that's how I felt too. The moments up to it, my heart was racing. I was like, it's going in my body. And then she did it. And I was like, it's in my body. It's in my body right now.
Right.
Bugging out.
I don't know. I'm just thinking to wait till the last possible minute. But at the same time, I don't know what I should do, really.
You know?
I'm thinking, watch how I'm going to put it off and then I'll get sick before I get it, right?
I mean, people are still getting sick with it, so.
I know. I want to bring this up because they're saying that nearly half of the cases are now coming from 5 states. New York, Michigan, Florida, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey account for 44% of all the new infections.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Well, they did kind of put their guards down first. There.
Did they? Well,
oh, yeah.
Maybe.
New York's been very open for indoor dining way before we were.
Oh, really?
Months before. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, we've been open. I don't see any higher cases here. So I'm hoping that maybe the vaccines. And, I mean, obviously they're working. You know, the numbers are down a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so it is working. And that's why, you know, it's hard to argue with it and stuff. But I don't know, man. I mean, this is fucking like serious shit. It's not like getting the, you know,
I know.
So kind of an easy shot or something. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, obviously they've got a lot of vaccines. We've been taking them all along. They've given to us when we were kids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know.
I don't know either. It's also unknown. And I know the conversations and arguments are coming of like when it's okay to start or to stop wearing masks and things like that. But the thing is, like, they're saying 6 months is how long the vaccine is going to stay in your system. And they're preparing booster shots. But that 6 months is like an average. Some people are going to recycle it out sooner and some people are going to recycle it out later. So,
right.
I just don't know.
So is it every 6 months or just the first 6 months?
I'm not sure of that. They don't know that yet either.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Nobody knows.
I know.
Nobody knows anything. In 2 years from now, they're going to tell us all the ways in which we were doing it wrong about what we're doing right now.
That's true, yeah. But, you know, we're always naive compared to how we're going to be a year from now.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, who would have thought last year that we'd be in this position now?
Right, and I think it's important that we just work from a place of knowing that the future us will think that now the current us is naive, rather than people being so constantly certain of where we are right now. You know, people are just taking everything as if it's hard fact, and the truth is we don't know.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty sad, you know, and I don't know what's going to happen because, you know, I don't know how other countries are doing. They're not really talking about it, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, they're going to come out with vaccine passports. I think that's inevitable.
Yeah.
You know, because airlines are saying they're going to require that.
They already have them. You can get them on the World Health Organization network. Mm-hmm. It's like it looks like the same card that you got, the white card that you'll get when you get your vaccine, except it's yellow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, they implemented that in Israel and they seem to have emerged out of it. So I don't know.
I just wish we could have been like Australia and just eradicated it without a vaccine.
How is that possible?
They don't have corona in Australia anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
How is that possible.
They just lock down and actually lock down. And
yeah, but the virus doesn't go away, you know? I mean, it stays.
Yeah, but if people, no one's going outside, no one's spreading it.
Right,
it
but
dies.
That would be 100%. How is it?
Yeah, no one's wearing masks anymore. No, they don't have any cases, nothing. It's been that way for a while there in New Zealand.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't heard of it, but if you say so,
yeah,
then it's true, you know? I mean, I don't understand. But, yeah, you know, and they're saying yesterday they announced that California is going to open up completely June 15th.
That's my birthday.
Oh, well, then you won't forget it.
I won't forget it, no. Yeah.
I'm sure we're still going to have to wear masks, but at least, you know, we know that people can go just about anywhere.
Yeah. I think the gyms are opening very soon, too.
Yeah.
So.
They're not open yet, the gyms?
I think some of them are. Not. Yeah. I don't think.
I know that some. I know people that are working out so at gyms.
Yeah.
So maybe, but it's outdoors still, I think.
Oh, that's good.
What it is.
Yeah. I popped into my building's gym the other day and it was like so hot and stuffy in there. I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't work out in here. It was like no circulation, no fans, nothing.
Wow.
Just like still warm air.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I know. I need to work out. I really do. You know, I mean, this pandemic has made me so like just lazy, you know? I mean,
yeah.
And your body is not in shape. And, you know, I mean, look, some people have stayed working out, you know, and all that stuff regardless.
A lot of people haven't.
Yeah, but a lot of people haven't. You know?
They call it the quarantine 15 or something like that, like a freshman 15.
Uh-huh.
This one woman was at a, she had, it was a funny video. She was at a restaurant and her son was talking about how not going to college and studying online saved him from the freshman 15. She was like, well, I got the COVID-19.
Yeah.
And like the server looked at her like, you have COVID. She's like, no. I meant like I have COVID-19 pounds.
Wow. Yeah. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in, an actor, filmmaker, and I think the director is going to call also. I'm not sure, but we'll see. He's got a movie coming out, and that should be interesting.
Great. We have a party today.
Yeah. You know, I mean, well, there would be the same call.
Okay.
Yeah, there would be the same call. I'm just not sure if it's one of them or both of them will call.
Okay, cool.
Because yesterday he emailed me and he brought up the fact. So I said, it's up to you. If you both want to call in, that's fine with me.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah, you know, so I'm still wondering about the shot, you know. I mean, because I'm hearing from both sides, you know, and both sides are convincing.
Absolutely.
You know, and what are you going to do?
I know.
But, God, I don't want to be sick. I really don't, you know. I mean, it doesn't sound like fun at all, this illness.
No.
Yeah.
My friend said, my friend who actually had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and got COVID last week, she still can't taste or smell anything. And so all week she's been texting me different things that she wants to eat when she can taste again. She's like, when I can taste, I'm going to order a whole pizza and eat it myself.
Yeah.
And then the next day she's like, you know what I also want to get? She's like, I want ramen. She's just like daydreaming about all this food
that
she can't eat right now.
Well, I know. I mean, losing your taste would be terrible.
Yeah.
Your sense of taste, you know?
It's the least of the symptoms.
Yeah.
But also
you know,
sucks.
Somebody told me that the 65% means that you're not going to get it as hard. You're not going to get, like, all the symptoms and stuff. But so I don't know. I mean, I don't know if 65, what it means. It's just obviously less safe. So, but people are taking it.
Yeah.
You know? So,
I know.
So I don't know. You know, I
it's going to prevent the severity of the illness, and it's going to prevent hospitalization and death.
Right. Okay. So that's what they said. Yeah.
But at the same time, they don't know how it's going to limit the long-term symptoms that people get, like the swollen organs, the blood clots, the aneurysms, things like that.
Oh, really? They get blood clots too?
Oh, yeah. Blood clots have been one of the number one causes of death 6 months after people get COVID, even if they have no symptoms.
Really?
Maybe
I better get the thing. Because, you know, once you have it, I think you could have it again, you know?
Yeah.
Although I'm taking blood thinners and everything, but who knows, you know? I don't want to take a chance.
Yeah, definitely.
But someone did tell me I'm probably high risk, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
Fuck.
I know. I am too, so.
Shit. So you still need to take your second one, right?
Yes, that's at the end of April.
Oh, okay. What is it, like 3-4 weeks or something?
A full month, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Pfizer is 3 weeks, Moderna is 4 weeks.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. When you think about how much money they're making, you go, well, you know, maybe it's like really, you know, maybe they're trying to push it on us and it's not what they say it is, you know.
I mean.
I know. I mean, people are trying all kinds of conspiracy theories. I don't know.
Conspiracy theories, although often very ridiculous, also can be very convincing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those like Facebook forums.
I know. And sometimes it's based on truth, you know. I mean, it just like, I mean, who would have believed that we'd have a virus like this, you know, which is very unusual, you know.
Yeah.
And if anybody said, oh, we're going to get this, China, blah, 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 people would say he's crazy, you know.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
I always thought if we got a virus outbreak like this, it would be like more apocalyptic. Like it would be
right.
Like a flesh eating virus. And there's like everyone's like outside screaming and there's like broken down cars in the middle of the road and I stores know. Are
people dropping dead in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Right?
Like basically zombie.
Yeah.
Zombie town. Definitely what I've always imagined.
Wow. That's pretty lousy.
To say the least. Yeah. Man. But yeah, no, so, I totally agree. I like didn't want to get it, but I was like, all
right. Yeah, just go along with it, right?
I guess.
We'll do what everybody else does. If something happens, it'll happen to everybody.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have been.
But that's sheep mentality, you know?
I definitely waited a couple months just to see how people were getting affected by it.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what?
And there are some side effects, but the percentage compared to people that are okay is small, you know? I mean, compared to people that have side effects. But, either way, I don't know, man. But in other news, yesterday I was reading the, you know, now I'm getting the New York Post because every few months I change the paper, you know.
Sure.
It's like, you know, the Wall Street Journal, the LA Times, the USA Today. Now I'm on New York Post. So there's a lot of New York stuff. But at any rate, they showed a picture of Khloe Kardashian in a very unflattering picture in bikini. And it was unflattering because you can tell her body's not as perfect as she makes it out to be.
Well, most celebrities, they're not.
Well, yeah, you know, but I mean,
I hate to break it to you,
yeah,
but
that's true.
People when know how to real, pose.
Yeah, when they show real pictures, you're right. Sometimes,
yeah,
many times they don't look as good. But but apparently the Kardashians were pissed because they didn't give a permission for that picture to be published. I guess it was done by an assistant or something.
Yeah.
So I was going to show you the picture. I'll show you afterwards. I forget.
Where can I find
the
it?
The newspaper. Oh, they said that they completely scrubbed it from the internet.
Of course, the Kardashians do have that power.
You think so?
Yeah,
well, try to find it. Try to find it. You know, Khloe Kardashian's unflattering picture or something. Or
on
bikini
New York
pic.
Post?
Well, no, anywhere probably. Just on Google maybe. Just to see if it's really off the internet. It's hard for me to understand how they can do that. I mean, nobody ever erases anything. The one on the left, yeah.
I don't think that's that unflattering.
Well, I don't know. It looks far from the way it looks when she, when they doctor the pictures.
Her body literally looks normal. It doesn't look normal to her.
Let me see. Did they? No, this was touched. This was retouched.
Yeah, because I'm like, this doesn't look bad at all.
Yeah. No, it didn't look quite perfect. Although, you know, nobody looks perfect. You know, I'm not saying anything. But to me, the story caught my eye because they're saying that they were able to scrub it from the internet. And I can't understand how they can do that, you know. And
with lots of money.
Yeah, but still, you know.
Lots
I mean,
of
I could take the picture from the newspaper and post it right now.
Yeah, know? I'm sure they have people around the clock working to just like wait to see what comes up. right. and scrubbing it immediately.
Yeah, but the internet is huge, you know.
I know, but they have connections everywhere.
They're probably looking on social media and stuff, you mm-hmm. know. So what, they're going to contact Facebook and say, hey, take the picture down? Because we didn't authorize it?
Yeah, probably.
There's a lot of pictures that are not authorized. I mean, yeah. once you're in public, that's it. You know?
I mean, there's certain like UFO sighting videos that get taken down right away, too. There are people that sit and wait to scrub stuff like that off the internet.
Like who? Who scrubs it?
People. I don't know who exactly it is, but people scrub that stuff off the internet a lot of times.
I don't know. Well, here comes a guest. So let's go ahead and take that. Let me bring up the notes here. Good morning. You're on the air. Is this Scott Hamm? Scott?
Scott Hamm and Kip Tribble calling in.
Oh, hello. Kip. Hi. How you doing, guys?
Hello.
Yeah. Hi, Kip. How you
good
doing?
How you guys?
Very nice to have good. You guys calling good. In. Kip, we've been friends for a while on Facebook because we've had clients of yours here or people that worked with you, rather. Yeah. But we never really talked, right? We never spoke.
We haven't, but you're right. We've been friends for a bit on Facebook.
Yeah. We haven't really interacted, but we know each other exists.
All right. Well, here we go.
Right.
Good social media relationships.
I feel so left out now because I don't know anybody. So I really don't know kids anymore. No, that's awesome. You guys know each other. Yeah, I think you have had we've had a mutual friend or two on the show with you. So that's fantastic. Good morning.
Right. Hi, you guys. Are you both at the same place or did you conference from different locations? Guys?
We're conferenced in. Like we're both in the Los Angeles area, but we're different locations.
Oh, I see. So you are in LA because I see it's an out of town number, but you guys are here, which is cool.
We are here in LA on the thing. We're just doing a massive like 30-mile social distancing.
Love it. Yeah. Very safe. Very safe.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah.
So
good morning, Jen. By the way.
Good morning.
So let's talk to Scott first. You're an actor and a producer. You've got quite a body of work here, I see. Where are you originally from, Scott?
Oh yeah, coast. Technically, I was born in Washington D.C. So way over there on the East Coast. My dad was in the military, and my mom and dad were living in Virginia, and I ended up being born in D.C. And then kind of slowly made my way over here to the West Coast with like some stops in the Midwest and then in Arizona. And then finally he settled out here in Southern California, basically in the L.A. and Orange County area. Like you said, you saw that Orange County number on my phone that came up. And that's that was kind of like the formative high school years and stuff out there in Orange County. So,
I see.
Yeah, man. And now I'm a local.
Yeah, you've been here a while. Tied. Yeah. So you grew up in D.C. where you was your house political? I mean, did you guys talk a lot about politics? Because I know many people do coming from there.
Especially this day and age. You know what? I think it's gotten like probably everybody else. It didn't seem like a lot growing up, but it's definitely gotten hotter lately. I did have one of those households though where my dad was conservative and my mom's pretty liberal.
Oh wow.
So they're definitely one Republican and one Democrat, but never any heated discussions, never anything crazy like that. I think my dad stuck to talking sports and watching sports more than the politics and stuff, which is probably good because I don't think they align really on anything politically. So it saved me, but they created me and I'm an independent. So, I'm a registered independent. So, that's kind of funny. We had one of each and then they popped out an independent.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, I mean, you have a variety there, enough for you guys to argue about, you know.
Yeah, flavor for everyone. Yeah.
I was just about to say, just enough for them to both be constantly mad at me if they do ask me about politics. I can upset both of them at some point.
Kip, what about you? Where are you originally from?
Originally from Lexington, Kentucky, and was there till I was early teens, and then the family moved down to upstate South Carolina, and I was there for a few years until I made the leap out here to the big city, Los Angeles.
Yeah, wow. There you go. You got to be here.
Quick story. Yeah.
Right. So did you have an attraction to films early on in your life, Kip?
Yeah, I did. And oddly, I didn't get to watch a lot of them growing up because we didn't have a TV in my house. My parents still don't. And,
wow.
You know, so I would only catch, you know, what I could when I would go to friends' houses and grandparents' houses, something like that. But definitely was always drawn to that. Writing stories from an early age. Didn't get into filmmaking until, you know, I'd been doing theater for many years, and I did radio for 4 years, Sam, and and then I made the leap over into film, and so I was able to start, you know, tinkering around with the camera and stuff like that too, but that didn't come until later. But always was drawn to the creative side of things, and, you know, telling stories and fashioning a story from the seed of an idea.
Right. So you were, do you act too, or are you usually behind the camera?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I'm an actor. That's how I started out, and how I, still my first love. And, really, you know, the way to kind of take the bull by the horns in this business, you know, and succeed is really to create your own stuff. And, it's also, you get more fulfillment out of that, and it's fun.
Yeah.
So, that's what I set out to do early on, and still doing it. Yeah.
I have that same argument with some of the old schoolers in the business. They say, you know, the problem with kids now is they have to just pick one thing and stick to it. But film, and I think in general careers nowadays anyway, but especially in film, I think I'm an actor too. And I got into producing to make money, and then it turned out I was mm-hmm. decent at it and I liked it. But you have to do a bunch of different things.
Yeah. And like you said, you have to do your own thing. That's what we've heard from a lot of guests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't wait for the jobs to come to you. There's just too much competition going on. So you create your own stuff, you know?
Mm.
100%.
It's so true. Yeah. So, Scott, I know you're an actor. Have you done directing and writing and things like that too? Producing?
I was, I'm just kind of getting my feet wet, and I'm kind of the newbie, and Kip's been gracious enough to take me under his wing. I was kind of on that old school thinking too. I always thought too, it was like an impossible goal to be like, I don't know, how could you, someone just be a director or a producer or do these things that you probably need like 20 years of film school and a million connections. And I thought the easiest way for me to get into the business was as an actor, which I also love to do too. And so I've been primarily an actor for the whole time. And I've done okay. I've had my, you know, some pretty good success with it. And then lately, like you guys just touched on, over the past couple of years, it's like now with the way the cameras are and the way that there's so many platforms, and it's just a ripe and fantastic time to get into independent filmmaking and learn the ropes yourself. And like you said, to create your own work. And I think everybody now, in one way or another, you have to create your own content. Because when I started, I'm like, you don't even put your own something that you shot yourself on your reel. That's just like suicide as an actor, just to film myself with a video camera and throw it on my reel, and the agent or somebody will throw that right in the trash. But nowadays, it's just like everything's a reel. You know, Instagram's a reel, Facebook's a reel, and I started. I always had stories that I had written down. I was never really a screenwriter, but some of my friends who are writers always said, "Man, you need to pen these into scripts and maybe start thinking about telling your own story." And over the past couple of years, I kind of gradually taking little baby steps. I produced my first thing, and then now just to learn the nuts and bolts, I went back to community college. I went to Glendale Community College and did take a couple classes on filmmaking. And just at crazy times when I could fit it in with, you know, being an adult, not a student, and going down there and taking classes to get more familiar with it. And then combining that with my experience on set as an actor, yeah, it's working out pretty good. This new one, The Stay, I directed it with tons of help from Kip, and we wrote it together.
Right.
And now it's off and running, and we've got some success going with it. So I'm happy, and definitely something I want to continue to do.
Right.
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, you know.
So, great.
So you guys are currently promoting The Stay, which is your new film. Mm-hmm. You both made it together, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And
correct.
Right. Now, so which one of you acted, which one of you directed and stuff? How did it work?
That was, Scott made his directorial debut on this one, and we both act in the film. Scott's the lead, and we both co-wrote the script and both produced. So we really, truly partnered up on everything across the board on this, except Scott directed, and then I edited the film. So I kind of, controlled things a little bit more in post. But, yeah, we really, really tag-teamed up truly on this one.
That's cool.
Yeah. Huh? Is technically superior to me, so he's
which is, and I'm not very superior, so what does that tell you about Scott?
Yeah. So give us a little synopsis on the film. What is it about? It says Good Friends and Some Time to Kill. Sounds interesting to me.
Yeah.
Something I would see. Go ahead. What is the plot of the movie?
I'm glad you like that little tagline in there too. Those take a while to think of.
Yeah, right.
So that's great. It's a pretty. I like to look at it as even when I set out to tell the story or write the story down too. It's a pretty like throwback to the straightforward old days, like date movie night type thing, where it's just two couples with lots of problems and lots of underlying secrets and things going on in their lives decide to take this weekend vacation to kind of recharge and maybe hopefully figure some things out in their relationship and in their friendships. And then when they go out, of course, to a cabin in the middle of nowhere, we are introduced to a very creepy and odd caretaker who rents out the property. And then over the weekend, things start to unravel, secrets start to come out, and the mystery begins on what is going on at this cabin for the weekend without giving too much away. So it's really one of those kind of, we've been using the term slow burn thrillers that leads up to a pretty nice ending and with a couple twists and turns here and there. And but at the core of it, it's really about relationships and secrets and lies. And it's a really fun little enjoyable, I think, hour and a half to sit down and be entertained with the story. And I'm proud of it and so happy that we're getting a really good response so far. And we're on 20 platforms right now where people can catch it. And so glad that Kip partnered with me on it. And things are going well.
Wow, that's a lot of places to see it. What are some of the places that people can catch the film? Kip,
go ahead, Kip. Sorry.
Yeah. Amazon, Vudu, most of your cable outlets where you can go on and rent on cable on demand.
Right.
Let's see. You've got iTunes, really like this. If you have Apple Fire Stick or Roku or any of those, you can just search it and you'll have plenty of options.
Come up. Cool.
Apple TV.
I was going to say Apple TV. It's on DirecTV.
Google Play.
Pay-per-view on DirecTV, Comcast, Spectrum, Vudu. I would say Apple TV, Amazon Prime, and DirecTV are the three biggies.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's pretty cool, man. And that's the thing. Today also, there's so many outlets. You don't have to have the big studios finance the film and release it and everything. You can pretty much do your own work and get it shown in so many different platforms,
Definitely.
So this is cool, Mm-hmm. When was this released?
Yes.
When did the movie first come out?
This came out March 16th, so we're pretty fresh.
Oh, wow. Very cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, definitely a movie that's worth seeing. Sounds creepy.
I love it.
And
thank you, Dan.
The movie is The Stay, and we have Scott Hamm and Kip Tribble making the film. And do you guys have any other films in the works right now?
Yeah, we do. I've got a film coming out called Evil at the Door that I also wrote, directed, produced, and Scott and I both act in that film. And another film that Scott's in as an actor, and I'm in as an actor as well, called Confined. And that'll be coming up soon after as well. And then my other film, Reboot Camp, which I produce and act in, is coming out May 4th. So, we've been busy. We got a few things coming out.
Yeah. You're making some dark movies there.
I love it.
Yeah.
You got to follow where the heart goes, right?
Yeah, really.
And there's a huge audience for those movies, too.
Oh, definitely.
People love this stuff, you know.
For sure.
Very cool.
So people love those. That's why they're a little easier to sell and get out there, because people love them and they love to watch them. So, yeah. I'm lucky enough to be in a couple of those that Kip mentioned. And then I actually just got out so random, literally about a half hour right before I came home with you, that a film I did before the COVID, I think it got kind of caught up in the whole COVID-19 thing, but it just came out today on Amazon Prime. If anybody wants to check it out, it's called Howl. And it's a spin on Little Red Riding Hood. And I play one of the wolves in it. And there's Michelle Martin's in it. And then also, Kenny Johnson from SWAT, and Laura James, who was one America's Next Top Model, I think, one of the seasons, and she's on I think she's on SWAT now too. That's kind of ironic. So that comes out today. Actually, today I got the message that it's now on Amazon Prime. So I haven't even watched it. I need to check it out and see.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
There's a double feature, right? You can watch The Stay, and then you can go and watch Howl, and you can really just fill yourself up with my ugly face.
Great.
Not quite. That's those pictures. But finally, how did you guys meet? How did this all happen for you guys?
We met years ago bartending during one of those slow time in the industry which happens to many actors, anybody in this industry, you've got to pay the bills.
Yeah,
it was many years ago, several years ago. We were during one of those times we were bartending at the same place, and kept in touch a little bit, and then we had kind of gone to different places, and I happened to bump into Scott in a Target, and this was like a few years later. Bump into him, and I was casting a film. And we were looking for like one other person. We were having a hard time casting this person. And I bumped into Scott. And as I'm standing there, I'm like, wait a second. I think this might be great for Scott. And so, threw down an audition. And the exec producers approved him. And the rest is history. And then from there, he had told me about his aspirations about, getting into producing. And he came on and produced the next film after that with me that we both acted in. And there we go.
I love that.
And
so
here we
much.
Are now.
I worked in food. I worked in food service.
Target's the way to network, guys. You gotta go Target.
Yeah, you got.
You really do make some like great friends working in food service, for sure. Bartending,
for sure.
Serving.
It felt true. Oh
you know,
my god! Yeah,
when you're
right.
in the trenches together.
Too, yep.
Yeah, and it's in LA.
Yeah, that's it. You go through the trenches together, and Scott and I both have friends that we've known for, gosh, probably 20 years that you've met in the food service industry.
Yeah. Wow.
And what's that old saying? So, you're an actor? What restaurant do you work at?
Yeah.
Right. where do you sling drinks at?
Oh, my gosh. The best is when I was serving and people would ask me, so what do you do? And I'm like, I'm an actor. And they're like, that's really difficult. I'm like, oh, yeah. I had no idea. That's why I'm serving tables instead of doing
that. They would say,
that.
Of course you are. That's what everybody else is in L.A. That's funny.
That's better than if they ask what you do and you say, I'm an actor, a writer. And they go, oh, good. Well, what do you really want to do?
Yeah, right. Or what have you been in?
I'm talking about a real job. What real job do you want to do?
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you guys are an example of being able to take it to the next level and actually do your own thing. And
that's
impressive. So while we have Scott Hamm and Kip Tribble, do you guys want to give out, where can people find out more about the film, about your social media if you want to give it out.
Sure. Yeah. I would say I'm biggest on Instagram. You can find me there at ScottM8. And there's also an Instagram page, The Stay Film, if you want to check out some info there. And then we're on all the both the film and myself, we're on all the normal stuff. You can check us out on IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, also my website, The Scott Hamm Official. There's always information there about our films. And again, The Stay is everywhere right now, Apple TV, DirecTV, Amazon Prime, Vudu, all the above. So please come check us out. And I'm very interactive. If anybody has any questions or anything they want to reach out to me about, you know, just hit me up.
Yep. Sounds good. Same here. We're like Scott said, we're very interactive. And, you know, you can find me just by searching my name on Instagram, Twitter, I probably do the most on. And I'm also on Facebook, Kip Tribble. That's two P's and two B's in there. But yeah, just search me and you'll find me.
Sounds good. Well, we wish you much continued success, guys. Again, you know, I want to catch this movie because it sounds interesting. It kind of grabs me now. You know, I want to know what happens. You know,
please check it out. We appreciate all the support. So yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, leave us a review. Leave us a review.
Of course. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for calling in, and all the best to you.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you both for having us. Thank you, Sam.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
For having us.
Of course, you're welcome. Take care now.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah. I love it.
I know, right? Success stories in Hollywood. You know,
and that's, like, there's so many times. I mean, obviously, I've worked with a ton of actors, both in New York and L.A. I didn't really waitress that much in L.A., but in New York, I served the entire time I lived there. And everyone's always like, we should work on a project. And then no one ever gets to it. But it's nice to see that people got to it.
Right.
Someone got to it.
I think if you connect with someone and there's a good connection, you guys can actually produce something worthwhile.
Yeah.
You know?
New York was hard because everyone I worked with was musical theater actors. Mm. So
that's not for you.
That's not for me.
Yeah.
No. Which is funny, too, because, you know, every time I go out to eat with my New York friends, everyone's like we're at a quiet restaurant and everyone's like taking turns belting, singing at the table. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, please stop.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, they're just singing.
Yeah. But you see, this is inspiring for you too, because you see that there are things going on, you know, and people are able to get together and make their own projects and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah,
it's just
definitely
a question of waiting and finding the right people, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I do little projects here and there.
Right.
But
you meet people, you know, and one day something big's going to come out.
Yeah, you know
it,
me.
You
I'm
know?
Always talking to people.
Yeah.
I'm always inserting myself into a situation. I'm like, hello.
Well, that's the way to do it. You can't be shy and
I'm not
succeed,
shy,
you know?
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for calling in. That's an interesting story, you know. And I like when people connect and they become friends and then they do things together. It's like you can't imagine them sitting and mulling, you know, things over.
Yeah,
and
like the Six Gun Sal guys, you know, they all have that connection. It's the same thing in film. Like once you get on an idea, like for a script or a song or whatever part of the film or thing you're working on, you just, this camaraderie happens, this like flow, and you can feel the energy and
it's good. And you sit there, you don't know what part of it's going to be real, what part is not, but you're in it together, you know, and it's cool.
I love it.
Yeah. I know. I need to find a good film. I'm trying to watch a few movies and nothing's really grabbing me. I don't know what's going on.
I watched this pretty cool series. It's a British series. It's called The One.
Uh-huh.
I think it might be based off of a book. I'm not sure. Somebody mentioned that, though, during a discussion about it. But this scientist found this technology from watching ants that they basically find their mate because of their like genetic pheromone or something like that. And so they've taken that data and did it for people. So they basically take a strand of your hair or something, your DNA, put it into a system with millions of other people, and it makes a genetic match for who is genetically the best match for you.
And they
call it the one, because when you meet that person, you just have this like profound connection right away. And it's like nothing else you've ever felt before.
Right.
Blah, 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 that whole thing.
Yeah.
But
the bottom line is, and I was thinking about it, and not only apps, but in real life, it's like, first of all, you got to like the way they look, you know? And then you start talking about other things. And it goes both for men and women, you know? I mean, when you go on the apps, you know, what do you go on based, you know,
it's
the
a
first
catalog.
Thing? Yeah, but the first thing you look at is the picture, you know?
Yeah, it's
you
a
look,
human catalog.
Right, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think there are times
that's what I'm
when
saying, all
can.
The matching and everything, you know? It's like I joined eHarmony, right? So they have all this, like, extensive questionnaire and all this stuff, and they match you, so you don't see everybody on the site. You only see people that match you to a certain extent, right?
Sure.
What good is that if you don't like the way they look? You know, I don't care if you match with them perfectly. You know,
sure.
You got to be attracted to them.
I think there are
so
very few instances where attraction doesn't come into play, and what I've experienced is sometimes like. Working with people for a long time, I might not be attracted to them in the beginning, but after you work with someone for a long time, I think attraction can build.
Right, because that's organic, you know.
You
get to meet the person first, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, I think this is the first thing they look at, and if you don't like the pictures, you don't go any further, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Just that. So
there has to be something like very I don't know. There has to be like a very specific quality about a person if you're not
attracted to them
that
physically.
Attracted to them. Yeah.
Right.
You know,
but I wonder how long that lasts, you know, if you're not attracted to them. I mean, does anybody get together with someone they're not attracted to? I can't imagine.
A lot of people do.
Yeah. But that's not what they want to. I think that's when they force themselves to, like, maybe, oh, I haven't had a relationship. I really want one.
I think that's
They'll
the case
settle.
A lot of times. But I think there are some people out there who don't look at... I think it's a very small minority of people that don't care about
right.
looks.
Right. But yeah. I mean, obviously, there's got to be some people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But everyone finds something, someone in their league, you know?
I guess so. The problem with the apps is that... And I explained this to my friend who... I've mentioned her before. She had been in a lot of long-term relationships. And while she was doing that, I was like on the apps for years, you know?
Right.
And then she got out of her long relationship and she's been hitting the apps for the past year or so. And so she doesn't really know how dating culture is. She's like just learning now how it really is out there. And it's the thing about the apps is that because she had never used them before, she never had to. But the problem with the apps is that you go on dates with people, and even though you're having this like amazing, what feels like an authentic connection, you're like, oh, this is going great. And then you never hear from them again. It's because they have 10 other people in their inbox.
Exactly. Waiting.
You know, just waiting, you know? So.
I know, that's true. You know, I mean, if you meet someone halfway decent, you probably should put your profile on hold or something, you know?
Yeah, but that's the thing just is so nobody wants to put their profile on hold.
Right.
Because they're like, oh, if this person's pretty decent, there's got to be someone even more decent out
right,
there.
I'm going to find something better.
Yeah.
I know.
And so everyone's just single now and miserable. And I'm not miserable. I'm very happy. But yeah, people are just cranky about it. And everyone's like, oh, I want to find love, but then they're doing the same things.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. We're all guilty of it, I think. You know?
It sucks out there.
It is. It's not easy.
It's not easy.
Not easy,
you know?
At all,
I wish I could just, like, meet someone at Whole Foods or something.
I know. And people do meet that way. I don't see how.
Not me.
You know, I don't see anybody picking up anybody at the grocery store. I mean, I'm busy just buying the stuff and leaving, you know?
Yeah.
So, but maybe some people do, you know.
It's only the people that I don't want to talk to me.
Right, exactly, you know.
I'm just like, no.
They're the ones that have the balls to talk. It's like the ones
they
that
got
nobody,
nothing to lose.
I suppose, yeah.
I don't know.
They probably don't look at it that way, but.
They're just like, hey, what's going on? And I'm like, no.
Nothing's going on.
I'm like, I'm buying apples, bye.
Oh, well. Did you hear that they're trying to recall Gavin Newsom, the governor? they're recalling him. They already have 2 million signatures.
Man. I heard
people
that.
Don't like him very much. So guess who's considering running for governor if he gets recalled?
Who?
You know, Caitlyn Jenner.
All right.
She wants to run for governor.
I'm with it.
She's actually a Republican, though, so I don't think she's going to win.
Oh.
I really don't, you know?
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I know.
I feel, I don't know. All right.
Yeah. Someone's calling. Let's take it and see who that is. Okay. Unexpected. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Wow. Hi. I didn't know I'd get through.
You got through.
It's Michael calling. How are you guys doing?
Good. Excellent. Good. Michael who? Do we know you, Michael?
Well, you do now. We can be friends. No,
that's
fine.
True.
I used to listen a lot to LA Talk Radio. And I said, you know, I'm just going to tune it in and see who's on, see if they're taking calls. And there's Sam in the Morning. I'm not sure who your co-host is, but she sounds good.
Yeah, that's
Thank
Jen.
You. I'm Jen.
Yeah.
And hey, Jen. It's hey. Sam and Jen in the Morning. Cool.
There you
I'm
go,
actually,
something like that.
I lived in LA a long time. I'm now living in New York.
Uh-huh.
So it's
Poor
a
thing.
Bit later. 12:45 p.m. here.
You're calling from New York because you have an L.A. number. I assumed you called from L.A., but you are in New York now.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, my dad passed away, and I came back to look after my mom. She's 90.
Oh,
and
okay.
How
old was your dad?
Caretaker.
Yeah. How old was your dad?
My dad passed, that's going to be embarrassing, I think around 83. I'm trying to remember, but he passed away quite a while ago.
Oh.
I moved back to New York to look after mom.
Uh-huh.
And I kept my L.A. number.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, I'm a single person. What I was going to contribute to the conversation was
right.
I think even if I'm single, if I'm really looking, I think it's a bit of a problem, right? I need to work on my relationship with myself.
Right.
And I've done a lot of that, you know, and I do that work regularly. You can't just say, well, I'm fine with myself. A relationship requires daily effort.
Sure.
And so I look after caring for myself. I look after expanding my horizons, being spiritually active. And then I'm out there, but I'm not really out there sort of in an interview mode. I'm just open to the possibilities. And I think that's helpful because the other way, it's the equivalent of going to the grocery store and shopping hungry.
Right.
You know?
Oh, the worst.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, how happy am I really with myself? Because I've seen a lot of single people going, oh, no, I'm happy. Wait, are you single? Are you single? Are you single? And it's problematic.
Yeah.
You can smell it on them, you know?
It's so true.
And then the other part is not to sort of isolate myself and assume that that's okay as well. So in COVID, what are you guys doing to get out there and be social? Because we're in a post-COVID culture right now.
Right. Well, we have talked about this, the fact that you can't really go out and meet someone because, well, the masks, first of all, you don't even know what they look like, you know? And so, you know,
Sam's biggest concern.
Which in my case, had me an advantage. No, I'm
just but yeah, you know, so that's hard. And plus, people are kind of skeptical and apprehensive about being close to somebody else, you know, when, let's say, right before the vaccine.
Sure.
Now, I don't know, people probably still look suspiciously at each other. But you know, and I know what you're saying, Michael, about being like okay with yourself, but I feel I've been okay with myself for a while and I'm ready to find somebody, but it's not happening, you know?
Yeah, I sometimes feel almost too okay with myself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm like the idea
that's
of
the hard part.
Yeah, the idea of incorporating another person
kind
is
of be
like
out
a burden.
There, but not sort of on the hunt, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I think in the post COVID culture, I had both vaccines, you know, my mother had both vaccines.
Nice.
And I think it's going to be important to verify that you have some type of immunity. I mean, there's no guarantee, right. Even with the vaccine, there's all these freaking variants that are coming up.
Right.
But I would be more open to being close to folks that have been vaccinated. It just makes sense to do that, you know?
Right, right. Absolutely. Well, Michael, that was a pleasant surprise of you to call in. That was really nice.
Yeah.
Of course.
We appreciate that. We do have to run, though, so feel free to call back anytime. You sound like fun.
Yeah, nice to meet you and Jen. You guys have a blessed day.
Thanks
you
for
too.
Calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Jen. Well, we're just about out of time.
That was cool.
Yeah. And so we were talking about Caitlyn Jenner. And so you think she'd make a good governor? I mean,
no, I don't know. I just I feel like someone who's been through what she's been through psychologically would probably have some compassion.
Right.
And I feel like has seen a lot of stuff.
Right.
In a lot of different capacities. Right. So yeah. I think that might be something to offer.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I would be interested, especially she's a Republican, you know, but that's why she won't win. I know that. Not in California.
Not in California, no. Yeah. I'm surprised that she's a Republican.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I know. Because you think that, you know, that people that change their sex might be like more liberal or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, I mean, but I guess she was a man before, you know, and she probably developed her views way before, you know, about life and stuff. So, and she's a vocal Republican, they say. So, 71 years old. She looks pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looks great.
All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. We're going to be Friday, right?
No.
Oh, no. Not this Friday,
not
right?
Not this Friday.
Not
I'm
this
sorry.
Friday.
Sam
okay.
Sam hates me.
Yeah. Well, I don't hate you, but but we're going to be out for a few days. So stick with us. Don't give up, folks. We love being here, and we'll see you all next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.